All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons, and I'm your host, Aaron Freeman. Today, we're previewing tonight's preseason action between the Falcons and Chiefs, giving you my thoughts on what to watch for, my expectations all across this Falcons roster.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for a long time at FalcFans.com. You can find me on Twitter at FalcFans. And, of course, I am the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. We're doing a positional preview as we did a week ago with the Jets game. The Falcons are facing their home opener, preseason opener against the Kansas City Chiefs, expecting a little bit of a better showing at home than we saw on the road last week against the Jets. But today we're going to do what we did last week. Go position by position, talk a little bit about various position battles, who needs to step up, maybe some expectations in terms of who might play, maybe what to watch for if the Falcons sort of shuffle their lineup, shuffle their depth chart, those types of things just to get you guys ready for tonight's action. So let's jump right into it, starting with the quarterback position. You know, the Kurt Benkert bandwagon cooled off a little bit, but as I said a week ago, if he had a good showing against the Jets, we could start that thing back up. And guess what? He had a good showing against the Jets. We'll see if that continues this week. My expectation right now is that Garrett Grayson will sort of flip-flop with him and get most of the second half work. That's what we sort of saw the Falcons do in 2016 when they had Sean Renfrey and Matt Sims competing for that third quarterback spot, where in the first game, Renfrey got the bulk of the third quarterback reps for most of the third quarter, or all of the third quarter, and some and a large portion of the fourth quarter. Then the following week in the second preseason game, Sims got that work. And so my expectation is the Falcons will do something similar, but we'll see sort of if Garrett Grayson can sort of even the score a little bit with Benkert, or if Benkert continues to play well, even if he only gets two or three series at the end of the game, what he can do with that. I expect Matt Ryan and the bulk of the Falcons starters to play at least two series, maybe three, which should take them through most, if not all, of the first quarter. Then I expect Matt Schaub to enter the game with the second string and play out the remainder of the first half. Then I think Grayson presumably will get to start the third quarter and get about a quarter and a half worth of action. And then Benkert could probably wrap it up with a series or two at the end. So we'll see how that works out for all of them if the Falcons go with a different lineup. But that's the expectation right now. Moving on to the running back position, we'll see the preseason debut of Devontae Freeman. Don't expect a lot of work, a high workload for him. I expect him and Coleman to sort of split reps for that first series or two that the Matt Ryan and the starters are in. I'm hoping at that point we'll see Ito Smith get a lot of work. I'm hoping that maybe the Falcons will leave their starting offensive line for at least a series for Ito Smith to get some work behind those guys. I'm eager to see him get quite a bit of touches in the second quarter of this game. We'll see if the Falcons then thereafter shuffle their running back depth chart with guys like Malik Williams and Justin Crawford. And, you know, we'll see if Terrence McGee, after a rough start against the Jets, or not a start, a rough first game against the Jets, will, if he bounces back this week. I think right now, looking at that, the positional battles here, I think primarily it's really about right now Williams and Crawford sort of competing for a practice squad spot. Maybe if they continue to play well, they might push for a roster spot. But right now it seems like more than likely they'll go with the practice squad spot. And we'll see if McGee can sort of throw his name in the hat. If he sort of needs a big game this week to, or a better game this week to sort of keep pace with those two guys. Moving on to the fullback position, you know, my favorite position. We'll see if the Falcons flip-flop Luke McNitt and Ricky Ortiz. We saw Ortiz get the start last week, played pretty well in limited snaps. We'll see if the Falcons try to increase these guys' snaps. I think they combined for about 12 snaps last week against the Jets. Would like to see more. That's not a whole lot to evaluate those guys on. But the part of the problem is the Falcons have so many wide receivers, also a bunch of tight ends that they want to evaluate. And so those three wide receiver sets are featured heavily, particularly in the second half when the third and fourth string guys are in the game, as well as the two tight end sets. So that puts a damper on sort of how many reps that the fullbacks get. But hopefully one of both of those guys continue to get as many reps as possible. And we'll see if McNitt can sort of even the score after a solid performance from Ortiz last week. Moving on to the wide receiver position, Julio Jones is expected to make his debut, but he probably also will see an even more limited action than many of the other starters, similar to Devontae and whatnot. We should get to see a lot of extended reps from Calvin Ridley. We'll see what, if anything, the Falcons do to try to create for him. I really feel like this game is a golden opportunity for the Falcons to get some extended reps for guys like Ridley and Russell Gage and Marvin Hall and Reggie Davis, as opposed to some of the guys on the back end of the roster. I feel like that fourth preseason game is really going to be that time for shine for many of these undrafted guys and back end players. But trying to get some of these guys that you assume are going to make the Falcons roster, we don't know about Hall or Davis quite yet, but some of these other guys that you're pretty confident are going to make the Falcons roster, to get them as many reps as possible to get them geared up and ready to go. But speaking of that back end of the roster, right now it looks like Devin Gray and Christian Blake and Dontez Bird are creating a little bit of separation, fighting for a potential practice squad spot. We'll see if any of those guys can create further separation in the second half of this Chiefs game, and that'll be something to watch. Looking at the tight end position, the Eric Saubert-Logan Paulson battle will continue. Expect to see quite a bit of Saubert again. We'll see if any of those guys can sort of make any movement. Part of the issue with that Jets game is that, you know, compared to a lot of other positions, no one really stood out at the tight end position, not really as a blocker, not really as a receiver. So we'll see if anybody really makes any noise this week. And speaking of making noise, don't you guys want to be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium cheering on the Falcons tonight against the Chiefs? Well, now you can, thanks to Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is offering Locked On Falcons listeners 10% off on your first ticket order when you use the exclusive promo code Locked On. That's Locked On, one word. New customers only, and the offer is good through the end of August. Preseason and regular season tickets are available now. If you can't make it tonight to see the Falcons take on the Chiefs, you can check out their preseason finale in 2 weeks against the Dolphins on August 30th, or check out their regular season home opener against the Panthers on September 16th. Go to vividseats.com or download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for 10% off your first order. The offseason is over, the NFL is back, and Vivid Seats wants to help you get to the game. So let's talk about the offensive line. Ty Sambrello should be making his debut, or is expected to make his debut. And we'll see sort of what he does in that competition with Austin Pastore for that swing tackle position. Sambrello's return should push Matt Gano to the third string offensive line along opposite Daniel Brunskill. We'll see how those guys fare. If, Gano's coming after a pretty solid week, we'll see if Brunskill can sort of close the gap a little bit on him. We'll see how all four of those offensive tackles handle some of the Chiefs pass rushers, particularly in the second string, like Tano Passanio and the incomparable Frank Zombo. Inside along the offensive line, we'll see if Sean Harlow gets some work with the second team unit this week. And I'm also curious if we're going to see him or Jamil Douglas get any in-game reps at center. That seems like something that makes sense, but we'll find out if it's just going to be Ben Garland and J.C. Hassenauer once Alex Mack is taken out of the game. The other sort of battle that could be, haven't talked too much about it on this podcast, because the expectation has been that Brandon Fusco would wind up winning the job. But the expectation from me, at least, is Fusco should get the first team reps at that right guard position. Wes Schweitzer got the start last week against the Jets. I think my imagination is that the Falcons will then look at tonight's action and evaluate Fusco and Schweitzer and who's performed best out of these first two games, and then look ahead, and then whoever starts next week, and assuming that they play well against the Jaguars in the third preseason game, that dress rehearsal game, that guy will wind up being the week one starter. So tonight will be an important game for both of those guys to really put them in the driver's seat potentially starting next week. And then if assuming that they continue to play at a reasonably high level, then that guy is going to probably start this year. But we've seen in the past years, I'm looking at you, James Stone, that beautiful portrait I have of James Stone hanging up on my wall, Team James Stone forever. But we've seen guys that struggle in that third preseason game and get yanked. So we'll see how that goes. And certainly it's not going to be an easy challenge when you're going up against that Jaguars defensive line. So I do not envy any of the Falcons starting offensive linemen, especially their right guard. Let's talk about the defensive line. And it'll be interesting to see how the Falcons handle their defense overall, just because the Chiefs are expected to play their starters, their starting lineup for the entire first half to get Patrick Mahomes as many reps as possible. And that means that, you know, whoever, even when the Falcons are probably subbing in their second and possibly even third string guys in the second quarter, those guys will be going up against starters, and it'll be a good opportunity to see some of these guys get tested against starting caliber players. Looking at the defensive line, you know, Deidre Sinat coming off of a strong week, a strong game against the Jets, and seeing if he can go up against these Chiefs offensive line starters. It'll be interesting to see if the Falcons tweak anything they did last week with Sinat and other D tackles like Terrell McClain and Jack Crawford. We saw Sinat get the bulk of his work at nose tackle. We saw McClain get the bulk of his work at that three technique spot. And, you know, Crawford's work in the base defense was primarily at that three technique spot as well. We'll see if he gets some work at that DN spot and see if the Falcons look at some of these guys and see if they can play them in different roles. Maybe Sinat at the three tech, McClain at the nose, Crawford at that DN spot, and see if they can test and evaluate these guys' versatility to play all over the defensive line. We'll also keep an eye on in the second half what that back end D tackle depth looks like with guys like Garrison Smith and Justin Zimmer and John Cunningham all coming off of reasonably strong performances against the Jets, and see if any of those guys continue to impress and maybe create a little bit of separation in that position battle as well. Moving on to the edge rushers, I didn't pay too much attention to the starters and Vic and Tack in the Jets game. Basically, I ignored the starters on both sides of the ball because they just played so little that it wasn't even worth trying to glean anything. I expect those guys to get more work this week. You know, we saw four snaps for Vic and Tack last week. I think that'll probably at least double, maybe even triple, but probably not much more than that. And we'll see, you know, I'll pay a little bit closer attention to what those guys do with a little bit more extended reps on, you know, one, two, possibly three series this week. But with those guys probably getting a relatively early hook, we should see plenty of Brooks Reed. We should see plenty of JT Jones, Anthony Wimbush, McKendy Cheridor, Richard Jarvis, among others. Wimbush played well last week. Jones struggled a little bit at Sam linebacker. Didn't do a ton when he got opportunities to rush the quarterback as a D-end in the nickel. The same thing with Richard Jarvis. We'll see if those guys can sort of step up and make this battle a little bit more interesting and see if the Falcons have a potential young pass rusher that could push for a roster spot or at least be a developmental option on their practice squad. At the linebacker position, we have obviously all eyes are going to be on Duke Riley along with Foye Olukun to see if that position battle heats up a little bit more after a disappointing performance from Duke Riley last week, a strong performance from Olukun last week. We'll see if Kamal Ishmael gets some nickel snaps. I don't expect that to happen just because I think Ishmael is a known commodity, and I think the Falcons really want to evaluate where Duke is, where Foye Olukun is, among others, in those nickel sub packages and get those guys much needed work because, you know, Ishmael's not a great coverage guy. And no amount of, you know, preseason snaps is going to necessarily change that, but you could help develop, you know, speed along the development of some of these other young linebackers. We'll see also if Jonathan Celestin, who was very productive in limited action last week against the Jets, if he sees increased snaps and can really start to push the two Emmanuels, Ellerby and Smith, for a possible roster spot. Now, we'll wrap up our positional previews for tonight's Chiefs game in a bit, but before we do, I do want to plug Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast with host Vinny Iyer, helping and giving you tips for your upcoming fantasy drafts and leagues. Locked On Fantasy Football, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So, we'll wrap things up with the secondary and special teams. And you know, as I mentioned earlier in the week, I do want to see a lot more of Isaiah Oliver this week, see his opportunity to get some work against some of these Chiefs starting wide receivers, guys like Sammy Watkins, guys like Tyreek Hill and Chris Conley, all guys that can stretch the field. And, you know, we'll see if we can sort of test Oliver a little bit and whether he's got that deep speed to match up and how well he does that. And maybe he can offset that a little bit with his length and what that, you know, all the things that we were enamored with when we drafted him. Would like to see that show up on the field at some point. You have Bleedy Ray Wilson and Justin Bethel in competition for that fifth cornerback spot. Based off of last week's work, it looked like Bleedy Ray has taken an early lead on that. We'll see if that continues, if Bethel can sort of catch up after a down week against the Jets. I'm also curious to see what Leon McFadden can do. I thought he showed some promise last week, as well as Deontay Burton, who's making the transition from a wide receiver a year ago to that cornerback position and potentially fight for a practice squad spot. We saw Chris Lammons, who we thought was going to be a safety, play exclusively in the slot last week in nickel. I'll be curious if he sees any reps in the base defense and whether that's get some opportunities as an outside corner or a safety this in this game against the Chiefs. I imagine we won't just see Kazee and Lammons and Poole in the slot this week. You know, Poole will probably work in the slot with the starters. But last week after Poole and the starters came out of the game, it was exclusively Kazee and Lammons playing that slot role for the remainder of the game. And I imagine that the Falcons might mix in the quote-unquote regular or traditional corners, might see some Alford, of course Poole, maybe some Oliver, as well as Bleedy Ray Wilson and Leon McFadden, both guys that have slot experience as well. So it'll be interesting to see if the Falcons get some of those guys reps or if they continue to play Kazee and or Lammons in that role. That is signaling to us a little bit that maybe that is something that the Falcons fully intend to deploy during the regular season. Moving on to the safety position, obviously Kazee, Demonte Kazee is coming off a very strong game against the Jets. I want to see if that continues in tonight. And I also want to see if he's working exclusively at that safety position, if he can continue to play at a high level there. Ron Parker played exclusively in a nickel last week, playing as single high safety for the most part. I'll be curious if he gets more work in the base. I imagine because the Chiefs are going to be playing their starters, there's a good chance that with that second unit defense, we should see Parker and Kazee on the field at the same time playing that base defense in the first half. But the Falcons could decide to throw Tyson Graham or Cedric Cooper or Lammons or Marcellus Branch out there as well with the second unit defense to see what those guys can do. I don't think any of those guys really had strong performances last week, so we'll see if any of them can sort of emerge tonight and sort of, you know, make a name for themselves and push ahead maybe for a potential practice squad spot. Wrapping things up with the special teams, Matt Bryant did return to practice this week. It sounds like he's going to be a game-time decision tonight. As I've said before, I don't feel like the Falcons need to be compelled to play him this week. I think they can give him another couple of days of rest, have him healthy, ready to go against the Jaguars next week, and give David Marvin all those opportunities, given that he didn't really get any other than a really bad opportunity in the closing seconds to kick a rush field goal. So, you know, Bryant has nothing to prove. Marvin does. So give him those reps. We'll also see if Marvin gets some opportunities to punt late in the game. That's something the coaching staff has hinted at earlier in training camp, if Bosher needs a breather, say, in the fourth quarter or something like that. So we'll see how that goes. As far as the return position, that looks like the battle is going to be it looks like the Falcons are going to sort of rotate new guys in. That's what the hints that Dan Quinn has been indicating, including Calvin Ridley. That opens the door for guys like Justin Hardy, Reggie Davis, maybe a couple of other guys this week. I'm specifically eager to see what Ridley and Davis can do in those opportunities. We've seen Justin Hardy return punts and whatnot. I feel like we already know what he is at that role. But Davis and Ridley are two intriguing guys. Ridley, simply because he hasn't had certainly not at Alabama, really had almost no experience returning kicks. But the Falcons have sort of hinted at he's been creating a little bit of buzz in that role. And I'll be curious if the Falcons are legitimately serious to see if, you know, considering him as an option there. Davis in particular is because I think his best trait is when he has the ball in his hands, which makes him potentially a very effective return, especially and arguably potentially the most talented on the roster when you just look at his pure potential. And I do wonder if he can show that tonight and sort of bust this return position battle wide open. The other issues on the special teams that I'm eager to look at, you know, special teams matters. I'm going to be curious to see if the Falcons continue what they did a week ago against the Jets in the personal protector battle. You know, I have a special interest vested in this position, simply because it's the old position of Eric Weems and Teron Ward, two guys that you guys, regular listeners, know that I was big fans of. And they're now gone, and I'm curious to see who replaces them. Last week we saw Brian Poole and Isaiah Oliver split those reps. I'll be curious if we see Ito Smith get some opportunities there, if Justin Crawford gets some opportunities there as well tonight, or somebody else. I'm also curious if we get to see Ron Parker get some reps on special teams. I'm also hoping that the Falcons kick the ball off more than one time, like they did a week ago, which means they actually score some points so that we can actually evaluate this kickoff coverage unit. We have some new faces like Bethel, like Olakun, Oliver, etc. You know, you got some returning guys that need the work just because they don't have a ton of experience, like Riley and Casey and Hall and whatnot. So those are some of the things I'm looking forward to. Obviously, the biggest priority in tonight's action is going to be guys staying healthy. You want to come out of this game injury-free. That is the one big hope. And even if the Falcons do get shut out again, as long as they're healthy, I will take that. You know, it's not going to be ideal, but, you know, as we say, preseason stuff is not as important to sort of, you know, put your best foot forward in the preseason. Obviously, you want to, but it's not going to be the end of the world if the Falcons struggle again tonight against the Chiefs, particularly given that we should see plenty of Chiefs starters and probably against some of the Falcons backups. So it wouldn't totally shock me if this thing got ugly, but at the same time, it would certainly be fun and entertaining to see the Falcons go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs starters, at least their second-string unit, and make some plays against those guys. All right, that's it, guys. Tomorrow we'll be coming back with a rapid reaction to tonight's game. Looking at sort of my initial thoughts, I'll rewatch the game over the weekend, break it down a little bit further. On Monday, we can talk a little bit more in depth about various position battles. As I've said a number of times, or at least once on this podcast, they all blur together, as I say. You know, I always count the first and second preseason game as sort of like phase one of the preseason. And so now that once we get through those two games, evaluating where players started, where they finish, if the arrow is pointing up for those guys, if they're maintaining, if there's any decline from game one to game two, that is going to be something to note. I think we can start to really not necessarily, you know, cement some of these position battles, but we can start to at least write in pencil a little bit on where some of these position battles are going. Primarily, we know there aren't too many roster battles up for grabs for the Falcons roster, but you know, a lot of practice squad battles certainly will be settled in the second half of this game, and that'll be something that we can talk about on Monday. I'm also open if you guys have any questions that you want answered, some of your observations, want some of my thoughts on various roster battles or tonight's action. You can send those in, and we can talk about those on Monday. I know last week we didn't go too deep into the Jets game. For various reasons, but one of which was because of the whole Duke Riley quote-unquote debacle. Hopefully nothing crazy like that happens that requires us to talk about it for 15 minutes on Monday's show. But, you know, I can't make any promises. You never know what's going to happen, you know, in the preseason. So if you do have questions, you know, I'm hoping, basically I'm saying, like, tomorrow's rapid reaction. Monday we can talk position battles and maybe do a little bit of a Q&A. And of course, you can send in your questions to FalcFans. That's my Twitter handle. Since it's podcast related, just go ahead and send it to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. That'd be easier for me to get those questions. As well as you can shoot them at Facebook. At Locked On Falcons is the Facebook page. The email address is lockedonfalcons@mail.com. And you can leave a comment at lockedonfalcons.com or falcfans.com, where the podcast is posted daily. So that's the plan for the weekend. That's the plan for the beginning of next week. We might also do some fan talks as well. That is something, you know, hopefully nothing crazy happens, nothing crazy pops off this tonight. And so, you know, we can get some fans on and get their thoughts on how the Falcons are looking through two games early next week before we gear up for that Jaguars game later in the week. So that's sort of the plan of action for the next couple of weeks or the next week. And until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.